Pistevo, the art of belief.
Well, I believe, you know, as you know very well, it really brings one of the senses to life, and that's the sense of sight. So yeah, that's why I think it's important. It totally enhances the whole worship experience.
We wanted to tell that very personal story of people making the sacrifices and putting in the effort and relying on their own personal faith. And you can see that when you see that they completed something, because it began as a church that was framework. And for so long, the frame was empty.
I've sat in the sanctuary a couple times after a day of shooting and sat in silence. And it's been, as someone who grew up in a Jewish home, not very religious in this part of my life, I'll tell you, for me, doing this film has changed something.
If anyone is listening to this, all I ask is that you tell your friends, your relatives, the faithful, to go to OCN and just take 18 minutes of their lives and watch the original film and the subsequent clips that we've done to support it. And so the response has been inspiring and humbling.
Every so often, a project comes along that fits perfectly with the ministry of an outreach like the Orthodox Christian Network. And Pistevo has been that project for us, which is why we've been telling its story from so many different directions over the past several weeks, and we're going to wrap it up, at least on this broadcast, today. Those comments you just heard are from our most recent conversations about Pistevo, spelled P-I-S-T-E-V-O, by the way, with the priest of the Greek Orthodox Church of Our Savior in Rye, New York, the script writer of the video, the director, and a key financial donor. And if you don't know what Pistevo is, you'll find out in just a few minutes. I'm Mike Trout, and our host is the president of Hellenic College Holy Cross School of Theology in Brookline, Massachusetts, Father Christopher Metropoulos. We're on the web at myocn.net, and we're on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. Every topic we cover is viewed through the history and understanding of the Orthodox Christian faith. Find out more about what that means when you check us out on the web, again at myocn.net.
I think the biggest comments that I get from our members is they appreciate having an Orthodox environment where they can be themselves, where they can really express their faith, talk about the faith. And, of course, there are options to do that on Facebook with different groups that are available there, but we've been around for quite a long time, even before Facebook went big, and I'm pretty proud of what we've built, and I'm just hoping that other people will join the site and enjoy what we have to offer.
Our first interview today is a quick conversation with Father Ninos Oshana, who serves the Cathedral of the Ascension Community in Oakland, California, and is on the phone with Father Chris to talk about the Orthodox Circle, an online Orthodox community similar to Facebook.
Welcome, Father Ninos.
Thank you, Father Chris. Good to be with you.
Let me ask you a question. I mean, what makes Orthodox Circle different from Facebook?
Well, I like to think of it as a ministry. It's an Orthodox Christian ministry that tries to utilize some of the social media-type tools that are available nowadays to bring people together, to bring Orthodox Christians all over the world together on one website where they could share content, fellowship, get to know each other. So it's a really kind of like coffee hour online, if you want to think of it that way. And we have many more tools that are specifically designed and created for Orthodox Christians that are meant to encourage them in the faith, connect each other with ministries. So we don't have any ads. I know that's a big spot on Facebook. There's ads all over the place, but you're not going to see any of that on Orthodox Circle.
But you can't deliver coffee yet through this, can you?
Well, we're working on it.
Okay.
I mean, and donuts, too.
No, donuts, too. Exactly. That'd be my favorite. Tell me, do you have to be an Orthodox Christian to be a member?
No, you do not. And in fact, what's been interesting is we've had a number of people who joined the site who are actually interested in Orthodoxy, and they join it as a kind of way to kind of look around and learn a little bit about what is the Orthodox Church. And some of our members will reach out to them, you know, friend them, as you say, and just kind of answer questions, get to know them. And we've had a couple people actually, after a few months, put up a post saying that they were baptized or chrismated into the church, and friendships are formed. And it's just a nice way to kind of do sort of soft evangelism online for people who are curious or seeking.
Okay. Let's delve a little bit deeper into it and ask you the question, what does Orthodox Circle actually offer?
If you're familiar with social networking, the idea is that you are joining an online community. And what Orthodox Circle offers is a way for Orthodox Christians, you know, in your local area, in your state, in your country, and all over the world, to connect, to meet each other. And that's just one part of it. What we're trying to do is, while you're on Orthodox Circle, to also be able to access and enjoy and be edified by Orthodox content. This could be videos, audio, articles, and these are posted by the Orthodox Circle team and by also by our members who find some amazing things that are out there and available and share them with the community. In addition to that, we have some specific what we like to think of as catechism tools that are helped to meant to teach the faith. We have one very interactive tool that's called Icons Interactive. What this is you load a different icon, let's say of a feast day, and then you mouse over the different parts of the icon, whether it's a figure or an object, and there'll be an interactive way to learn what that means. What does this part of the icon signify theologically, spiritually? And it's just a great way to learn about icons. You can also then read the Troparion or the Kontakion for that particular feast day that's depicted in the icon. You can listen to the hymn of the Troparion or the Kontakion. So it's a real educational tool. We also have another feature that's pretty unique that I don't think I've seen anywhere else, but we allow our members to create memorial pages. So you have a loved one who's passed away. You can create a profile for them. That's a memorial page in a very beautiful way. You can upload their photo, tell a little bit about their lives, who they were. And this is a permanent page that stays on our site. It's free to do, and it's just a way to honor our departed, as we do on Sundays with memorial services. Mm. We also have a feature for posting questions. Let's say you have a question on a theological issue or how to make koliva. Post it, and we have members who will be willing to answer those questions very enthusiastically. So that's just a little sampling of just a few of the major features we have on the site. I think the biggest comments that I get from our members is they appreciate having an Orthodox environment where they can be themselves, where they can really express their faith, talk about the faith. And, of course, there are options to do that on Facebook with different groups that are available there. But we've been around for quite a long time, even before Facebook went big. And I'm pretty proud of what we've built, and I'm just hoping that other people will join the site and enjoy what we have to offer.
That's great, Father. I understand that our live Bible study is featured on the Orthodox Circle. Can you tell our listeners more about this partnership that's been created?
Yes. What we are doing is hoping to have clergy, priests who are offering Bible studies to utilize our chat platform. We have a built-in chat system. And what we've done is you'll be able to view the Bible study that's being offered and at the same time, in real time, post your questions through the chat window. And that's just a great way to engage remotely with the live stream of the Bible study and ask questions.
Okay, that's great. I would think, Father, the last question I can ask is, how does someone become a part of the Orthodox Circle?
It's very easy. You just need to go to orthodoxcircle.com, and you'll see a little sign-up button. You'll fill in your information, your name. And by the way, I just want to point out one thing, is that if you're a priest, you're more than welcome to say, Father, so-and-so.
Not like Facebook.
Yeah, you might be familiar with the situation on Facebook where some of our priests and others were not allowed to use the word priest or father as part of their user profile name, and it caused a big controversy. Well, we don't have that kind of issue. This is a site for Orthodox, by Orthodox, and also for seekers. So orthodoxcircle.com. We look forward to your participation.
Thank you, Father. We appreciate your time. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you very much, Father Chris.
And we certainly encourage you to check that out and perhaps get involved. Again, that's OrthodoxCircle.com. You're listening to Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network, and we're on the web at myocn.net. If you're listening to us on a radio station somewhere around the world, you can also catch us on our website. Just click on the Listen button when you go to myocn.net and then select CRTL. Speaking of interacting with people around the world, our blog called The Sounding gives you a chance to do just that on specific topics covered by our thoughtful and very interesting group of bloggers. When you go to the website, select the Read button, which will take you to The Sounding with all of the current and past articles. Again, that's myocn.net. We're also a nonprofit ministry and covet your prayers and, if possible, your financial support. You can give safely through the website, again, myocn.net.
Yes, it started with His Eminence. I remember several years ago when he was standing on the Solea addressing our parish, and he pointed to the walls and he said, you know, these walls must be filled. And from there, I really credit, of course, Father Elias.
And now with our feature conversation for this week, here once more is Father Chris.
With us today is Robert Augustinos. He is the president of the Parish Council of Christ Our Savior Greek Orthodox Church in Rye, New York. He's here to tell us about his experience during their major iconography project and to tell us more about Pistevo, the Art of Belief, a documentary recently produced by Michael and Robin Saros and their family. Welcome, Robert.
Thank you, Father Chris. It's great to be with you.
Let me just start off by congratulating Father Elias, the community, and you for the beautiful job you're doing in completing the interior of your parish. It's absolutely stunning. What's been your response?
Well, you know, it was our reaction as well, and I think my response to your comment, which reflects most of the feedback that we've gotten on this project, is it was a big community effort.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a very organized effort, but it was an effort where thanks go out to so many people.
Did you have a chairman? Did you have a committee? I mean, who put all this together? This phenomenal work.
Yes. It started with His Eminence. Mm-hmm. I remember several years ago when he was standing on the Solea addressing our parish, and he pointed to the walls and he said, you know, these walls must be filled. And from there, I really credit, of course, Father Elias, who took the ball and ran with it the way Father Elias does. And then he appointed a chair, Nick Lovanos, who's just an incredible guy. And Nick was a great voice for the project, for the mission, along with Father Elias.
Do you know what the total project cost in the end?
We were at about $1.3 million, a little mm-hmm. north of $1.3 million.
Okay. And it's my understanding from research that no one donated more than 30% of the full project. So that means
right.
That's a parish-wide event, correct?
That's right. I mean, our aim was, we have 400 steward families. Our aim was for 400 participants. Mm-hmm. And we did not hit 400, but it certainly was an effort that was embraced by our community, and that's accurate. I mean, one measure of that was that not one donor committed more than 30% of the total of
okay.
the project cost.
And having, I'm going to use this term very loosely, having survived such projects before myself, it's a huge task, and you, I understand you broke it up into four phases. So we had the life of the saints, Christ, the prophets and the angels, the choir loft. How'd the first phase go? Let's start with that one.
Well, the first phase was, from a fundraising standpoint, it wasn't that difficult. That established our base. It was really one-on-one, Father Elias and 12 families that contributed each panel of the life of Christ. So from a fundraising standpoint, it went very quickly. However, the biggest challenge with that phase, and I'd argue that was probably personally, for me, and I'm sure I speak to many others, probably the most
challenging phase, and it was really about context. We had a church that had a sanctuary that, you know, the walls were predominantly white, floor to ceiling.
Yes.
And so it was very difficult, I think, once that phase was unveiled, to really see the vision that Father Elias obviously had for it. So he had to pat us on the back and you know, keep us facing in the right direction on that phase in particular.
And I remember visiting that church because my late father-in-law's cubaro, the one who stood with him at his wedding, was Father John Baglaneas. And I remember visiting the church of our Savior there when Archbishop Yakovos used to attend, and Father Baglaneas was there. And I remarked at that point, and we're talking, you know, 40 years ago, we're looking back, and I'm saying to myself, it just looks very dry. It's not filled yet. It's not completed yet. And Father John said to me, someday it will be, Father. Someday it will be. And look at that, and now it is amazing.
And for us, that phase came sooner than later, right? Because we were one phase after the other.
All right.
And then pretty short order.
And then you went to phase two, so where you asked the donors to fill the lower walls. What was the plan there?
The plan there was, as Father Elias had mentioned to us, he had full confidence that phase, which was truly introduced to the entire church community, we probably, I think there was place for about 60 saints. So it was the saints that surround us below the life of Christ. And that phase went quickly because what Father communicated to us was that, and he reminded us that each of us, we each have a saint, and we each have saints that we relate to closely and that we pray to. And sure enough, when that plan was introduced, it was truly embraced.
So then from there, it was full steam to phase three, right? How did it go?
Phase three was a different story. I mean, we were very enthusiastic after phase two for a few reasons. One, we started to get it, and we saw that connection between the life of Christ and that order from the life of Christ to the saints that surround us today. But phase three was a little more difficult because above the life of Christ and were the prophets, or are the prophets. And what was encouraging about that phase is that we went to we had visited His Eminence Archbishop Demetrius a few times during the course of this to get him to sign off and give us feedback on the renderings. And I remember what was very encouraging is he said this is our theology when he looked at the order from Christ the Creator above us to the prophets to the life of Christ to the saints that surround us. And so that was we understood that vision. However, the fact of the matter is that I think very few of us can relate to the prophets, the Old Testament prophets, and I'm not too sure too many of us, and don't put me on the spot, could name too many. So that one was a phase that was, from a participation standpoint, was a little more difficult.
Okay. So that's 3 years in the making, and now you're on phase four. And now, by now, again, from experience, I would say that parishioners are a little bit weary. Some of the morale has probably gone a little bit by the wayside. People are questioning, why did we need to do this? Why didn't we give the money elsewhere? I've been there. I've done that. I've heard all those ups and downs. But clearly what you're doing is you're bringing an Orthodox church into a completion, which is what we try to do with our spiritual lives, bringing us into completion. So talk a little bit about phase four and what happened in that so-called, I guess it's pretty much your final year, right?
Yes, and it was a big chunk of the project financially, about a third of the project. And so a number of us were saying, well, we need breathing room.
Mm-hmm.
Let's wait.
Right.
And Father was in our ears saying, why wait? And he was right. I mean, what are we waiting for? Mm-hmm. And so when we looked at how we're going to introduce this fourth phase to the church community. Nick Levanos had a brilliant idea, which was just to make to give opportunity to participate for as little as $200, and that really pushed our number as far as participation in the project.
Okay.
And that kept the momentum going for us.
Now, let me ask you a question that's going to go to your heart, and I don't know if you're really going to want to answer it, but I'll ask it anyway. Were there any moments when you became discouraged? Were there any moments when you were encouraged with this project?
Sure. I mean, where I was discouraged, I think after that first phase, as we talked about, I didn't understand the context of it. The colors were overwhelming to me. Where I was, I guess, educated and encouraged is that you look at the refurbishment of the Sistine Chapel, for instance, with Michelangelo.
Sure.
That's vibrant iconography. Mm-hmm. The iconography, the original iconography, we see it often as iconography that's hundreds of years old, but the original iconography was vibrant. So that kind of turned that around and got us facing in the right direction again when a number of us, when that was related to a number of us. Discouraged, I think the connection or lack of connection maybe with the third phase being the prophets, but that was understandable. We kind of had to regroup on that one. And then you also have moments where, you know, individuals are in your ear saying our church was, you know, not it was meant to be white. I know Father Elias has referenced the fact that a curator of the Museum of Art in New York was involved in the original design of the church, and Father's response to our curator is His Eminence Archbishop Demetrios. So yeah, there were some discouraging moments, encouraging moments. I think visiting His Eminence and him blessing it and educating us and ensuring us that we're headed in the right direction. I'd also say that today the interaction with icons. I mean, we see children going up and, you know, they come into church, they kiss the icons back in the narthex, and then they walk around and they kiss the feet of the saints as they go around the church. And in certain sermons where Father will bring in a saint and being able to point to the saint and point us to the saint or one of the event in the life of Christ really helps us interact with the icons, and that's happening, you know, with frequency, and that is the point of it all. And then I would say the other thing that has been most encouraging through this project is that no one who's participated at any level, has asked for any recognition.
There you go.
So there's no saints sponsored by or you know, certain icons sponsored by anyone. No one's asked for recognition in any way throughout this.
Beautiful.
That's an awesome thing.
Well, Robert, sort of one final thing, and that would be, I imagine now that your community is resting and all your projects are over with, right? You're not going to be doing anything else, are you, after this
no,
4 years of work? What's going on?
Yeah, we're knee-deep in a restoration project. So the sanctuary, you know, this is our home, and the liturgical experience has been enhanced, you know, greatly with this project complete. However, you know, it's time for us to take care of our home, the rest of our home.
Sure.
And so we're undergoing a renovation project, which we hope to break ground, so to speak, in February, where we're going to be refurbishing each floor of our mansion and Maris Hall as well, our social hall. And our objective there is just to make the church and its ministries more relevant in our lives.
Very good, Robert. I wouldn't expect any less from you, the Church of Christ our Savior, and especially from Father Elias. Congratulations on your incredible project. I know that it will inspire people from generation to generation, to come closer to Christ and witness his love in this world. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Father Chris, thank you, and our prayers are always with you in your ministry.
You're listening to Come Receive the Light with Father Christopher Metropoulos. On our website at myocn.net, you'll find all the links to the Pistevo videos. The website again is myocn.net. We're a nonprofit outreach of the Orthodox Christian Network. And after you've supported your local church, we would be honored to have you come alongside with us. On the website, there is a link to a page that talks about how you can become a key part of this worldwide effort. Again, the website, myocn.net. Our thanks to Father Gregory Allard and St. Alexis Carpatho Russian Orthodox Church in Battleground, Indiana. They have made a commitment to join with us financially. I'm Mike Trout. We'll be back at this same time next week. I hope you can come along. And remember to always have faith in what you listen to.